Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for bringing us here. And the purpose for the study, you instill in every heart and produce in every life, so that the study of the word will be beneficial, profitable for everyone, in everyone, through everyone, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I could barely hear you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. Today, we're coming to James chapter 1, reading from verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Tonight, the topic is the blessed Bible-believing doers of the word. The blessed Bible-believing doers of the word. It says, be ye doers of the word. Which word? Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. We come to the Lord for the first time. And as we come, he confronts us with our lifestyle in the past. And he says that lifestyle in the past will not get us to heaven. And here we are, we want to get to heaven. What do I do? Repent ye and believe the gospel. Be ye doers of the word. Since you've been learning the word, have you done that? Have you repented? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you take me to the place where it happened? How it happened? And can you tell the exact thing that happened after you repented and believed on the Lord? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Did he say, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord? It's a command. It's a demand he makes upon our lives. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Have you done that? You've heard that many times. Have you done that? Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until the promise of the Father comes upon you, for you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Have you done that? Have you tarried? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We're weak spiritually because we've not been waiting upon the Lord. Tarry, wait until the Holy Ghost comes upon your life. Be filled with the Holy Ghost and not be drunk with wine. Have we done that? Have we been filled? Are we full of the Holy Ghost? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. A command, be not hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word. Have we done that? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Does love control our lives? Does love channel our lives, direct our lives? And do we do that every time to everyone? Love your enemy too and pray for them that persecute you. The point is, he wants us to be doers of the word, not hearers only, not learners only, not preachers only, not leaders only, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The blessed Bible-believing doers of the word. We're dividing the study tonight to three parts. Number one, the forgetful self, deluded hearers of the word. The people who hear, after they have heard, they get up, they go home, and they live as if they heard nothing. as if they learned nothing, as if they have not been exposed to the word, and the word has not been exposed to them. They are forgetful, they are self-deceived, they are self-deluded hearers of the word. Number two, the faithful self-denying hearers in his will. The faithful, the people who come faithfully, and the study of the word is not a waste. The study of the word does not go in one ear and come out the other ear. They are faithful to the Lord of the word. They are faithful to the word of the Lord. And that faithfulness makes them to pray and makes them to have the grace, the strength, the purpose, the passion that they want to be obedient to the word of the Lord. And they have to deny themselves. Because self will want us to go the other way. Self will want us to go the way of tradition and the way of habit and the way of the past life. But as we deny ourselves and we remain faithful unto the Lord, in every little thing, in every big thing, those are the people that are blessed as they study the word and they apply the word to their own lives. Number three, the fruitful self-forgetting harvesters in this way. And this way is, you know, as you read the Acts of the Apostles, Christianity is referred to as this way. The path of the Lord, the plan of the Lord, and the will of the Lord, and the work we have referred to as this way. And if we're going to be fruitful, we'll have to forget ourselves. That's the major problem of humanity. They think about themselves too much and too often. But the people who bear fruit in life, the people who are profitable in life, are the people that forget themselves and they walk in this way of the Lord. And those people will be harvesting. They'll be helpful to the other people. They'll give hope to other people because they live a self-forgetting life. Number one now, the forgetful, self-deluded hearers of the word. We're looking at James chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Isn't that terrible? It's a serious sin when Satan deceives us, and we're sucked in into a false system. It's a terrible sin when neighbors deceive us. It's the most dangerous and the most damnable when we deceive ourselves. And it says, if we're not doers of the word and we're hearers only, we deceive our own selves. Verse 23. In verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word, anyone, like Judas Iscariot, he heard all that sermon on the mount. He heard everything Jesus said. He heard every promise, every precept, every proclamation of Christ. But he was just a hearer of the word and not a doer. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, in a glass. And then he tells us in verse 24, he says, and for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forgetteth he's a sinner who needs salvation. He forgets he's a backslider who needs restoration. He forgets he's weak and in his strength, he forgets his unholy, unrighteous, and he needs the touch, the transforming touch of the Lord to make him righteous and holy. He forgets he is a forgetful person, and he needs the grace of God to always bring the word in remembrance. The forgetful self, the loaded hearers of the word. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the forgetful, self-deceived hearers of the word. Number two, the fruitless, self-deluded handlers of his word. Number three is the filthy self, defiling haters of his word, of this word. Number one. Number one is the forgetful self, deceived hearers of the word. Again, we have read James chapter 1, verse 22 to verse 24. We're looking at Galatians chapter 6, and we're looking at verse 3. In Galatians chapter 6, reading from verse 3, but for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. He is a sinner. He accounts himself to be a sage. He deceives himself. He's a backslider. And he thinks of himself to be a believer. He's a self-deliver. He's a fallen person. And he thinks of himself, of herself, as a faithful person. He deceives himself. He is hardened. And yet he feels that he is holy. He deceives himself. For if a man, or if a woman, or if a church man, a church woman, if a church goer, or a church member, think himself, herself, to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. And deceiving oneself sometimes starts in a little way, and then it expands, and then it becomes a habit. And if somebody keeps that habit of deceiving himself all through his life, he enters into eternity being deceived, thinking he's going to heaven, and he lands in hell. Because if a man think himself to be something, to be somebody, when he is nothing in the sight of God, he deceiveth himself. In Hebrews chapter 12, reading from verse 5, Hebrews 12, verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you. Ye have forgotten. Can you think of yourself? All you've heard, all these many years, message of salvation, sanctification, holiness, purity of heart, message of love, message of the necessity of standing firm on the word of God, of earnestly contending for the faith. In everything you do, everywhere you go, every plan you make, earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. All we have heard. Are you remembering? Am I remembering? Am I taking it to heart when I'm planning something, when I want to take a decision, when I want to go forth here or there? Have I forgotten, it says to the Hebrew Christians, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening, the correction of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Do we forget that the word of God was given by inspiration for correction, for reproof. And then when the word of God comes to us and we're corrected and we're reproved, how do we react? How do we respond? Our response will show whether we have forgotten that exhortation, that we should not faint when God rebukes us or chastises us. But you know, it's not going to come from heaven and stand before us and rebuke us. It's going to use his mouthpiece, his watchmen, his preachers, the people he has sent for, so that they reveal the mind of God unto us. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Look at verse 7. In verse 7, "If ye endure chastening," if ye endure correction, if ye endure rebuke, "God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastineth not?" Verse 8. In verse 8, "But if ye be without chastisement," if God becomes fed up with you, and there's no chastisement, there's no rebuke, there's no correction, Ephraim has loved idols, leave him alone. "I've reached unto him the great things of my law, and he has counted that as a strange thing, leave him alone." When God leaves a person alone like that, if he be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. It tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound," that is, if the virtues and the glorious grace of God abides in us and is abounding, it says, "they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9 says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." He has forgotten that he came to the Lord so he could be purged, and he was purged, and so he could be prepared for heaven, and he was saved so he can be on his way to heaven. But now he does not continue learning, he does not continue doing what the Lord had been teaching him. He has now forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And then in verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do, doers of the word, if ye do, not hearers only, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." We're coming to number two there. Number two is the fruitless, self-deluded handlers of his word. Not only the hearers, but the handlers, the people that know the word of God, and even handle the word of God, and they teach other people, and they lead other people, but they themselves are not doing what they teach. They preach, they don't perform. They declare, but they don't do the word of God. Those handlers of his word are self-deluded, and they're fruitless. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Having a form of godliness, they talk, they preach, they declare, they know the doctrine, but it's only a form. They do not have the grace and the strength to do what they preach. those handlers of the word. It says, don't even encourage them by listening to them. They say, and they do not. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, it says, ever learning, ever preaching, ever proclaiming, ever emphasizing doctrine, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And those who are closest to them, like their wives, like their children, they will know. He knows the word. He knows it in the head. He doesn't have it in the heart. And the friends who are close to him, they know that he has a form of godliness, but he does not have the power to obey and the power to do what he proclaims in Luke chapter 13. Reading from verse 6. Luke 13, verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereof. You understand the fruit he's talking about? The fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long suffering, the fidelity, the faith, the meekness, the goodness, and the temperance, the self-control. Those are the fruits that the Lord is looking for as we read the word, as we study the word. But he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then in verse 7, it says, then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit. I come seeking fruit. I come seeking fruit. As the Lord reaches out to us, as the Lord speaks his word to us, as the Lord tells us, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He wants that fruit of salvation to come through us. As he reaches out to us and even prays for us, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. After that prayer, he wants us to agree with that prayer. Key in to that prayer. Pray that same prayer and receive the benefit of the sanctifying word. You'll come, you'll be seeking fruit in our lives. And he said, the 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, referring to you in particular, and find none. Cut it down. Why compareth it the ground? Then in verse 8, he tells us, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. Give him a longer robe, but it's limited this year also. The Lord will not be patient infinitely, eternally, indefinitely, if we're not bearing fruit. My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is a man. The Lord is not going to be waiting indefinitely. He gives us chance. Another chance comes today that we are hearing the word of God. And he wants us to be doers of that word. He says, till I shall dig about it and dunk it. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, and if it bear fruit, Jonah has a second chance. If he now does what he has heard, go to Nineveh and preach to it the preaching that I bid you. If he will not be a doer of the word, and that's what the Lord is asking of us. We failed in the past, fruitless in the past, unfaithful in the past. A chance comes now to be a doer of the word. If it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, reading from verse 7. Hebrews 6, verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh out often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. A man sows the seed, God sends the rain, and then the seed brings forth fruit. That ground receives blessing, blessing from the Lord. But look at verse 8. In verse 8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. That which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. When we shall bear nourishing fruit, nourishing figs, because labor had been expended on us. If we bear the right fruit, profitable fruit, pleasant fruit, it says, well, the Lord will give more blessings. But instead of bearing the right fruit, instead of bearing redemptive fruit, fruit that shows that we're redeemed, that he has made us righteous, the fruit that shows that we have met Christ, we are in Christ, and we are new creatures in Christ. That's the fruit he expects. But if we bear the works of the flesh, if we bear the nature of Satan, if we bear the outcome of depravity, it says he is rejected. And is nigh unto cursing, and whose end is to be burnt. Matthew chapter 7, reading from verse 17. It says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. That's character. That's lifestyle. That's behavior, that's habit. In verse 18, it says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A saved soul cannot bring forth evil fruit. A standing spirit, standing in the Lord, abiding in the Lord, he cannot bear evil fruit. A truthful soul cannot bear lying, deceptive language. It says over here, a good tree, the one made good by the Lord, will not bring forth, cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19, in verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. Understand? Those are the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ spoke about that tormenting fire, that eternal fire, that unquenchable fire, more than any other preacher, any other one in the whole of the Bible. Jesus said, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Verse 20, verse 20 says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits. It's not by their testimony. Oh, I always, you know, come to the church. I always hear the preaching. I even write notes. No, no, not by what you say. By your fruit. By their fruits, you shall know them. Are you free from the works of the flesh? By their fruits, you shall know them. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit? And do you live as if you are a member of the body of Christ? And what Christ should have done, that's what you're doing. By their fruit, you shall know them. Verse 21. In verse 21, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, Who says, Lord, Lord? The preachers say, Lord, Lord. The so-called believers say, Lord, Lord. Even the foolish virgins say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Religious people, traditional people, they say, Lord, Lord. Denominational people, they say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth, we need grace. He that doeth, we need focus. He that doeth, we need determination. He that doeth, we need decision. I'll be a doer of the word. He that doeth, only he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. In verse 22, many will say unto me, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's where some people put all their emphasis. And it gives them popularity. It gives them the respect of people around them. And in thy name, I've cast out devils. That's where some people concentrate. They focus their attention. They'll fast and pray to cast out devils. They'll not fast and pray to cast out the anger in them, the evil in them, the bad habit in them, the defiling lifestyle in them. They think if they can cast out devils, they think that's enough. Jesus said, no, that's not enough. We must have Christ living in us and living through us. And he said, and in thy name I've cast out many devils, and we have done many wonderful works. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. What sad day. What great proclamation. On the final day, when they cannot return and repent. On the final day, when they cannot make right what was wrong. The Lord says, I'll tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Look at number three. Number three here, we're looking at the filthy, self-defiling haters of this world. The people who are defiled by themselves. Even when there's no other person around to defile them. How is that possible? Satan was not tempted by another angel. He was Lucifer. And he defiled himself. He brought up the idea himself, I will be like unto God. And the pride defiled him. Filthy, self-defiling haters of this word. In Jude chapter 1, reading from verse 10. Jude chapter 1, verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. They don't know that thing. They are not sure of that thing. And yet they speak evil of that thing. They know not. They do not understand the weighty matters of the word of God. Yet they speak evil of those things. They know not. They understand not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. They corrupt themselves. There are people, they have the lifestyle, the habit, and the thinking, and the thoughts of sin. And even when there's nobody to defile them, they defile themselves. In verse 11 says, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Cain had never seen anybody killing another person. And yet, something came out of him that what nobody had ever done. Neither Adam nor Eve. And he was born, the firstborn. Never had he seen anybody killing another one. And yet, he brought the idea. He invented the idea. And he says, woe unto them. For they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in again sin of Korah. Then in verse 12 says, these are spots in your feast of charity. That means they come to the meeting, they come to the assembly, the fellowship with the people of God in the church, as if they were part of the fellowship of the people of God when they feast with you, and feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, backsliders. And then in verse 13, it says in verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. When they talk, they are forgotten that what they are talking about is shameful. And with glee, with delight, with excitement, they tell of the foolish things they have done, of the sinful things they have done. They relate of the shameful lifestyle they have lived. They enjoy even talking about that. And yet, they go to church, they come to church, they read the Bible, they study the Bible, and they delight in those shameful, shameful things they've done in the past, what they're still doing. And it says, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. It's reserved for them the blackness of darkness even forever. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come. The time has now come. This was written about 2,000 years ago. The time will come at that time in the future. But now it's here. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They love motivation. They love excitement. And they love all those things the preachers say that make them laugh in their sins, make them rejoice in their evil. But to hear the doctrine of repentance, of salvation, of the new covenant, and the new creature in the new covenant, to hear a life that is properly lived in the grace of God. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own laws shall they heed to themselves teachers having itching ears. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, unto stories, unto some things. You know, they met this, they met that, you know, that make people inquisitive, curious. They want to hear that. But the doctrine, the teaching, the solid exhortation that will take them, make them repent and take them to heaven, that they don't enjoy. In Hosea chapter 8, reading from verse 11. Hosea chapter 8, verse 11. Because Ephraim has made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. Then in verse 12, it says, I, God talking, I have written to him the great things of my law. I've written unto him the weightier things in my word. I've written unto him the essential things of heavenly-minded pilgrims. I've written unto him the great things of my law. But they were counted as a strange thing that a man would live free from sin, strange to them. That a man would have a circumcised heart to love God with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, a strange thing. That a man would resist temptation and overcome temptation and overcome the tempter. To them, it's a strange thing that a man will be holy, that a man will be sanctified, that a man will live a life pleasing unto God. Strange unto them that our thoughts, our mind, our will, our decision, our desire, our devotion will be totally consecrated, surrendered unto the Lord. For them, that's the strange thing. Who can live in this world and not sin? And not continue in sin? Who can live in this world and not give bribes and take bribes? For them, it's a certain thing. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they are counted as a strange thing. We're coming to point number two here. Point number two, the faithful self-denying hearers in his will. We're looking at James chapter 1 verse 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 25. In verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Three things we're looking at. Number one, looking into the perfect law of liberty. Number two, living by the perfect love of the Lord. Number three, loaded with his perfect liberality for life. Look at number one. Number one, looking into the perfect law of liberty. It tells us in James chapter 1 verse 25. James chapter 1 verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, is the word of God, is the Bible, the old covenant, the new covenant, that is referring to as the perfect law of liberty. The word of God is pure and is perfect, and the word of God liberates us, frees us, and leads us into the liberty we have in Christ. That's why it says we look into the perfect law of liberty. And it says, he continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. And we look at Psalm 19, reading from verse 7, the perfect law of liberty. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. If we truly look into the perfect law of liberty, if we truly look into the word of God, the perfect word of God, it will show us our imperfection. It will show us our iniquity. It will show us our transgression. And it will also show us the word that cleanses us. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. purge me, and I shall be whiter than snow. If the word that shows us our imperfection, that also shows us the perfect one, that also shows us how we can be so cleansed and so purged that it perfects us. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, making wise the simpleton. He tells us in verse 8, it says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. In verse 9, the fear of the Lord to depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In verse 10, more to be desired are they. The law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading from verse 16, all scripture, not some, all scripture, the one spoken directly by Christ, all scripture, the one that the apostles received, all of them, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Peter and Paul and John and all the people that God used in the New Testament to give us the New Testament, all scripture and everything we've heard in the Old Testament, all from Genesis to Revelation, nobody to subtract, nobody to take away, and nobody to add anything. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The scriptures do not instruct us how to sin, how to fall, how to be corrupt, how to be defiled. If anyone is sinful, we didn't get that from scripture. That's coming out of the depraved mind of man or woman. But the scripture is given so that it will teach us doctrine, give us reproof, give us correction and instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, it says that the man of God, the child of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what the word does. That's why it says in Isaiah chapter 34, reading from verse 16, seek ye out the book of the Lord. The book of the Lord, the Holy Bible. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, and none shall want her meat. For my mouth, the Lord is talking, it has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them. We're looking at number two there. Number two, we look into the perfect law of liberty. Number two now, we live by the perfect love of the Lord. The perfect love of the Lord. That's how we live. If we look at his law, it directs us to the purging and the cleansing and the redemption and the righteousness. And then we now live by the perfect love of the Lord. It tells us in Matthew chapter 22, reading from verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the principle by which we live. And we never take vacation from that. We never say, today, I don't want to love the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. I want to do things today as if I'm on holidays. In the house, outside the house, on the train, on the road, in the bus, in the village, in the town, in the place of work, anywhere we are, and in any condition we are, this does not depend on, I feel good today, I feel bad today, I feel sad today, I feel sorrowful today. No, all the time, when we have Christ living on the inside of us, and we're living by the perfect love of the Lord, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Look at verse 40 there. In verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's including loving your neighbor as yourself. We're looking at Romans chapter 13. We're reading from verse 8. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. You owe everyone your neighbor. You owe everyone love. It's a debt you must pay. And you pay that every time. A neighbor, a stranger, a friend, a foe, husband, wife, children, parents, members of the church, anyone, everyone, this is what we owe. We owe it to one another, to love one another. And it says, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, it says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, because you love the man that's the husband of that woman. So you'll not commit adultery because you love her too. You don't want to do anything with her that will bring forth her imperfection and make her to sin and then miss heaven. Are you a woman? If you love a man, the man is so nice and good. Well, nice and good, you love him that you don't want him to get to hell. You will not offer your flesh, your body, because, you know, I love him, that's not your husband. I love her, that's not your wife. You'll not offer your body in expressing your appreciation for them, because if you do that, you're actually sending them to hell. And you're making them useless in the kingdom of God because you make them backsliders. Love does not offer your body to another person. I love you. No, you hate them by sending them to hell. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Galatians chapter 5, reading from verse 14. Galatians 5, 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 19 now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery of the flesh, fornication of the flesh, uncleanness of the flesh, lasciviousness of the flesh. Verse 20 says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Verse 21, envies and murders and drunkenness and revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they, members of the church, that they, members outside the church, that they, so-called believers, that they, those who testify loud, I am born again, I am saved, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, pure love, not fleshly love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In verse 24, it says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Those who truly belong to Christ, those who are born again, those who are saved, those who abide in Christ, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the laws. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Matthew chapter 7, reading from verse 12, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. All that we have in the law, that is the Old Testament part of the law and the prophets, everything we have there, the interpretation of every statement, the interpretation of every exhortation there, is that whatsoever, all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the summary, the interpretation, the application of the law and the prophets. What do you want people to do to you? To hate you? To keep malice with you? Not to forgive you? To hold you down for what happened 10 years ago? No, you don't want that. What do you want? You want them to forgive. You want them to love. You want them to behave properly, appropriately. You want them to help, not to hurt whatsoever. You want that others should do to you, do ye also unto them. We're looking at number three here. Number three, loaded with his perfect liberality for life. In James chapter 1, verse 25, James 1, verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This man will be loaded with his perfect liberality for today, for tomorrow, even for life. In Psalm 68, reading from verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. As we daily obey, as we daily do the word we hear, as we daily comply with his exhortation, he too daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Christ is in heaven. We are in Christ. He lifts us up that we are seated by side in heavenly places, and living in heavenly places and setting our thoughts, our mind, affection on things on high, he also gives us blessings in those heavenly places. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, Hebrews 5, verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He is perfected, and he has offered a perfect sacrifice. And we believe in that perfect sacrifice, and we live according to the word of the perfect Savior. And because we live according to his word, and we obedient unto him, he grants us the salvation that lasts us forever. We're coming to point number three now. Point number three, the fruitful self-forgetting avestas. In this way, we forget ourselves in the service of others. We forget ourselves in the service of the Lord. And all we want to do is to please him, not to please ourselves. What will please the Lord? James chapter 1, verse 26. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. 27. In verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To keep himself. God, keep me. Good prayer. You also will have to keep yourself from experience, from your past life, from the knowledge you have of the world. You know that there are things, there are people that will make you filthy, guilty, evil. And so, if you really want to be kept from evil, you keep yourself unspotted from the world. The fruitful self-forgetting avestas in this way. Three things we're looking at. Number one. Number one, the believer's caution and bridled tongue in his walk. Number two, the balanced care for the burdened in our world. Not in the entire world. We don't know the majority of people in the world. In our world, the people that surround you in your community, the people you know in your company, the people you know in the church, that they are burdened, they are poor, they are widows, they are orphans, that you will have a balanced care of them. Number three, the biblical conservation of believers are spotted by worldliness. Let's look at number one there. Number one, the believer's caution and bridle tongue in his word. James chapter 1, verse 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious, you claim you're spiritual, you claim you're no more carnal, you claim you're on your way to heaven. If any man seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You see the tongue there. If the tongue that slanders, you have to bridle the tongue not to slander. It's the tongue that lies, you have to bridle the tongue so it does not lie. It's the tongue that deceives your neighbor, even the intimate, the closest person to you. It's the tongue that deceives them. If we bridle our tongue, there'll be no deception. It's the tongue that utters hatred. Is the tongue that, you know, that poisons the lives of other people. Is the tongue that hurts other people. It's a world of fire, a world of iniquity. And if we're going to show that we're children of God, we bridle our tongue from evil, from hatred, from slander, from deception, from lying, from anything that is evil. It tells us in Psalm 39, verse 1, Psalm 39, reading from verse 1, I said, I will take heed to my ways. These are people who are seriously minded about going to heaven. They're not just religious, they're righteous, they're redeemed, they're ransomed. And it says that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. The wicked might be talkative, and he wants to talk, and also bring you to his level, to her level. And you bridle your tongue because you have something you're looking for. You have something you are watching for. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says, I was dumb or silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. You know, sometimes when you talk and talk and talk, you forget your deficiency. You forget the things you ought to correct in your life. You forget that you have to pray. You forget. You need to go back to the cross so that you kind of repack your load, getting ready for heaven. And so the psalmist said, I was dumb or silenced. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, it says, my heart was hot within me while I was musing. I was meditating. I was thinking about my life, thinking about where I am now, thinking about where I ought to be. If you have a companion that wants to always talking, from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you sleep at night, talk. It doesn't allow you, she doesn't allow you to think of your life, think of your future. Think of the commandments of the Lord and think of the demand of the Lord. Think of your shortcoming and think of your own life so that you can make ready for heaven. He said, my heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burnt. Then speak I with my tongue. What did he speak with his tongue? Look at verse 4. In verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 26, reading from verse 3. Proverbs 26, verse 3. He weep for the horse, he bridle for the ass, and it says, a rod for the fool's bag. Who's a fool? He's not thinking about heaven. He's not thinking about the future. He's not thinking about what he could have been. He's not thinking about the setbacks he had had. Talkativeness will not allow him to meditate about his life, about his loss. And the people around him, he himself is a fool, fool's bag. And then look at verse 4. Around him too, he has somebody who is a fool. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. The people that do foolish things, and when you run after them, run after them, run after them, you forget your calling, you forget your life, you forget what God wants to be on earth. And there will always be people, fools, that are not thinking of their own future, and they're not thinking of your future. All they want to do is play the fool. And it says, don't mind them. Answer not a fool. React not to a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, there are times the fellow does not know the depth of his folly, the depth of his foolishness. And so sometimes you have to lend him some wisdom. How do you lend him some wisdom? Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. But balance up everything. Don't spend all your life responding to the fool. Don't spend all your life responding to the people that do not think of their future. And I want you to be like that. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou become like him. And you're fighting, fighting, fighting a civil battle inside you. And you don't have any concentration or any knowledge to fight the outside battle. We're looking at James chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 1. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, always talking, 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 knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Verse 2. In verse 2 it says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, can you say this day, I want to live just this, one day at a time. I want to gird, bridle my mouth, gag my mouth, that I offend not today, just today, just today. And then when tomorrow comes, you make up your mind today. My tongue has always brought me into trouble, into disrepute, into falling, into failure. But today, just today, I want to so gird, gag my mouth that I offend not, just today. And if you take one day at a time, it will become a habit that your mouth, your lips, your tongue will not lead you astray. If any man offend not in word, no angry word, no slanderous word, no hateful word, no revenging word. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. We're looking at number 2 there. Number 2, the balanced care for the burdened in our world, in your world, in the environment you live, the people you can touch, the people you can reach, the people you can help. It says in the first part of James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God. and the father is this, to visit the fatherless, the orphans, and the widows in their affliction, to visit them so as to help them, to visit them so as to lift them up, to visit them so as to take burdens away from them, to visit them so as to offer some help to them, financial help, material help, moral help, courage, comfort, everything. Look at Job chapter 29. In Job chapter 29, I'm reading from verse 12. It says, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. It says, I look at my neighbors, I look at the people around me, and I offered help to them. I see they don't have any help, and I do. I help. And we ought to do that. Offer help. Give help. Lift up the burdens in the people. Give food to the hungry. Give clothing to the naked. And take financial bodies away from them as much as we can. We're looking at verse 13. In verse 13, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. And that's the practical thing we're to do. It's not enough just to believe doctrine. We have to live out the doctrine and cause joy in the hearts of the people who are joyless, who are sad, who are sorrowful because of the burden of needs in their lives. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. Verse 15. In verse 15, I was eyes to the blind who could not see. I used my eyes to point the way to them and feet to the lame. Maybe you have to carry them at the back because they are lame. You help them. And the deficiency in them and what is missing in them, because God has blessed you. You have eyes to see, you have feet to walk. You're able to lend them what you have so that they live a more complete life. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, I was a father to the poor, and a cause which I knew not, I searched out. We're coming to number three here. Number three, we're looking at the biblical conservation of believers unspotted by worldliness. In James chapter 1, reading from verse 27, the latter part, it says that keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. Do you know the world will defile you? And you have to keep yourself unspotted from the world, from the festivities of the world, from the festivals of the world, from the pleasures of the world, from the music of the world, from everything they do in the world that will come as a defilement to the believer. It tells us in James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers, spiritual. Adulteresses, spiritual. Know ye not that the friendship of the world, know ye not that intimacy with the world, don't you know that interaction with the world, don't you know that befriending the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The enemy of God. Tell me, somebody is religious and is a friend of the world, and he attends all their parties, and he drinks all their drinks, and he shares with them. I don't want to be any different. I want to, you know, be humble. I'm like them, and they're like me. And you are friendly with them. And you partake of their lifestyle. And it says such a person is the enemy of God. If that person dies in that condition, where does he spend eternity? He remains physically in the church. He's coming to all the services. He's interacting with us. And when he dies, we even take the responsibility of the burial. But he was a friend of the world in heart, in life, in lifestyle, in everything. A friend of the world is the enemy of God. An enemy of God dies in that condition. Where will you spend eternity? In 1 John chapter 2, reading from verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. A command, a command, a command. And be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, any woman too, love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. In verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh of the world, the lust of the eyes of the world, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. In verse 17, and the world passeth away. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. The Lord grant us grace, purpose of heart, passion to follow the Lord, and the pursuit for the revelation of the word of God, so that the focus, the concentration, the consecration to be doers of the word and not hearers only, and not preachers only, the Lord grant unto us in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. You still have to continue in prayer when you get back home. Bring everything, take everything you have heard to the Lord in prayer. Has the Lord spoken to you tonight? Has he revealed anything to you? Be ye doers of the word. Remember, where you are falling, repent and do the first works. Otherwise, I'll come and take the candlestick out of its place, except you repent. Let's call upon the Lord. Lord, you reveal so much of your mind, your word, your way, your will unto me. Grant me all the grace I need, all the strength I need, all the steadfastness I need, all the thoughtfulness I need. Don't be thoughtless. Think on the word. Meditate on the word, so that you'll be a doer, not a hearer. Preachers like me will be doers, not just preachers of the word. The Pharisees preached the Lord, but they didn't do what they said. Even the little they knew, they didn't obey. Just obey. Just obey. Yeah, the way, God's way. When the Spirit speaks to you, there is but one thing to do. Just obey. If you're in the Savior's hand, you must do as he commands. Never stop to reason why. All he requires is just obey. If for mansions you sigh, mansions on high, in the land beyond the sky, faith and duty will cry, just obey. Just obey. Just obey. The way, God's way. When His Spirit speaks to you, there is just one thing to do. Just obey. Just obey. Don't be a self-deluded hearer of the word. Be a doer. Don't be a self-defiling hearer of the word. Just obey. To take self-denial, if any man follows him and denies not himself to bear his cross, he cannot be his disciple. When last did you deny yourself of restraining yourself? But I won't say that. I won't wear that. I won't go there. I won't allow the works of the flesh. The self-denying believer that will remain faithful to the word, be a doer of the word at all cost. Visit the fatherless. Help them. The widows in the affliction, help them. We've read it. Not hearers only, but doers of the word. Be eyes to the blind. Be feet to the lame. Be a doer of the word. Be a provider for the poor, for the indigent who cannot provide for themselves. Be a doer of the word. Bridle your tongue. No word of hatred, malice, slander. No corrupt word coming out of your mouths. Be a doer of the word. And keep yourself unspotted from the world. The world will defile you. Association with them will defile you. Intimacy with the world will disqualify you from heaven. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. He commands us to repent, be a doer of the word. Commands us to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be a doer of the word, not hearers only. He commands us to seek to save them that are lost. Occupy till I come. Be a doer of the word, not hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray. Yes. Father, we thank you for your revelation. Thank you for what we have heard. But we know that glory is not in hearing. The blessing is in doing. The strength, the focus, the decision, the determination, the dedication to be doers of the word, grant unto us in Jesus' name. Yes. We pray none of us will reject your word for any reason. We receive, we apply, and we pray, we receive the grace, we'll be doers in Jesus' name. Every day, every moment, all the periods of our lives, wherever we are, whoever is with us, whoever we are with, help us, Lord, to be doers of your word. And we pray that the blessing of the doers, of the obedient, that blessing you shower upon every life. More grace in every life. More divine ability in every life. We pray you impart unto us that divine nature that will always love, always desire, always delight in doing your will. Keep us separate, unspotted from the world, and help us to concentrate, focus all our life on doing the will of the Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.